Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Dr. Florence Byham Weinberg is our very special guest once again, part of a continuing series. And she is the subject of a new documentary, and we'll let you know when that is available. And she's the author of 15 books and, of course, an extensive radio series here. And you could hear that on any number of 100 outlets, and including iHeartRadio.com, Radio.com, and Radio.net, and SoundCloud, and Spotify, RadioUK.net. And any number of places, up to 106, I think, different outlets. But, Doc, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Forgetful, though.
No, well, listen, we're all a little forgetful, and there's a lot going on. Keep in mind, we are in 2020, and we're in the midst of, you know, tomorrow when we speak. And, again, people will be hearing this tomorrow and the day after, but tomorrow... As we speak, we'll be 2 weeks away from a major presidential election that's like no other in history. I can't think of anything else like this. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We are in the middle of a financial crisis. The country is at each other's throats. There are some that would argue, you know, we're teetering on civil war. And if you forget something in the middle of all of that, I think you're forgiven, right? There's a lot going on in a world that has gone absolutely insane. I've never seen a country as confused as we seem to be. And again, I'm trying to be down the middle, but I think I could make a pretty good argument that we are in a chaotic state as a country. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with it, and you're quite right. I mean, with all this heaped on our backs, it's no wonder we forget things.
Yeah.
It's a good excuse anyway.
Yeah, just absolutely amazing. And, you know, like we've said this before, and I'm sure people have said it before, and, you know, you're not even going to ask the question, have you seen anything like this? And the plain and simple reason is no, you couldn't possibly have, because there's never been anything like this ever before. But let me just I'll just say this one quick thing on the political structure of what's going on. I know two couples that have split up over the 2016 election, and strangely enough, In both cases, it was the woman who was the supporter of now President Trump, and the men who were supportive of Hillary Clinton, and they split up families over this. I mean, there's never been anything like this that I don't remember that happening, and that decisive. But that's it was strange. You know, I would think maybe it would be the man, you know, one of these pickup driving, you know, like forceful, you know, flag on the car type Trump guys. But no, it was the women in both of these cases that I'm talking about that were the Trump supporters. And the other thing, and I tried to get these gentlemen on, but they were identical twins, best friends for, I think, 47 years, identical twins from, is it Mississippi or Alabama? And I don't know that the story never took shape, but I confirmed it with people. But they had a fist fight over the 2016 election, and one was on one side and one was on the other side. And from what I hear from somebody who knows them, they have never spoken again since the 2016 election. Now, is it me, or are we at each other's throats as a nation?
It's certainly not you. It's definitely true. I was at the gym this morning, and fortunately, that gym, at the hour I go, which is from 11 to 12, it is practically empty. And so I think it's safe. And also, my trainer sterilizes everything before I use it. She's got her her Clorox or chlorine mix and her towels right there, paper towels. And she sprays the surfaces and cleans them off so that I won't pick up any germs, and then she cleans it after me. So I haven't so far picked up anything, indeed. And well, here we are. I'm in San Antonio, and right now San Antonio has a lull in infections and deaths. So anyway, we were talking. I was telling her that yesterday at Mass, my priest was actually giving us a political sermon, which I think is against all the rules, and telling us not to vote for either candidate because both are equally evil.
Wow.
And to vote down ticket instead, whatever side we're on. And then we have two proposals, one for transportation and another for education, that are important, and to vote for those. So he was right on those counts, but I was very offended, and some others were also, that he was telling us how to vote for president, because that's just not the job of a priest. But in any case, There You Are was an instance of riling people up by mentioning something political when out of context. And the feelings were very high on both sides, quite clearly. So the people I spoke to were both furious on both sides.
Wow. Yeah. I can't imagine that people didn't walk out in the middle of it. Did anybody walk out?
No, but a lot of people were tempted. There were people shaking their heads and saying no. And he went right on. He probably couldn't hear us from up there anyway. But I wrote a letter about it, but I haven't passed it in. It's really quite violent.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's the type of letter you write and you hold on to. You get your feelings, and then you never mail.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But
and never mail, exactly. Yeah, that's the point.
Well,
yeah.
Here's
but when I told my trainer, turns out she is entirely on the other side. So
we should point out that that means the trainer is on the side of the president. She is voting for the president. And wow. Well, here's, you touched on coronavirus and how good she's been, which is surprising because a lot of supporters of the president aren't that committed to trying to fight down the virus. And you could see at these rallies and people are doing silly things and they have no masks on and the president isn't insisting on it, and he's insisting on having rallies with 25,000 people. It's a show of strength and all that, and you know, they turn into super spreader events, and I'm going to be careful how I preach, because I said to you off mic that I took a rapid test, and the reason I took a rapid test is because I'm going to travel, and I don't have any symptoms. I'm a fanatic about a mask. I am fanatical about being 6 feet away from everyone at all times. Our family doesn't hug and kiss. I don't even kiss my wife goodbye. We're very, very careful about spreading germs and whatever. And I took one of these rapid tests because I was supposed to fly on Wednesday, which if people are listening there, I'm supposed to fly 2 days from now, which is Monday. And obviously I'm not going to, because I got on the rapid test a negative and a positive on the same test. And I don't even know what that means, but the doctor, and I think he was kind of foolish. I said to him, well, so I should go into quarantine. And he said, no. He said, wait for the other test to come. I said, well, just in case, right? I mean, I don't want to be a spreader of this. And I'm saying this behind a mask. And he said, no. He said, have you been in touch with anybody who knowingly has? I said, no. And I said, I'm very careful. He says, he said, you're always wearing a mask. I said, yeah. He said, then you're in pretty good shape. I said, well, there's a positive test there. I can't. So he gave me the regular test, the test that is supposed to wait 3 to 5 days, or it's currently going 3 to 5 days. And I'm supposed to wait on that. And I had a fundraiser tomorrow, and I'm not that I canceled it, because it was canceled once before because of something similar, but not to me. And but I have others going, surrogates showing up, and they're going to be there. But there's no way in good conscience I could show up. I'm currently in my home studio, but I'm sequestered from my family, and I don't leave. We have a fortunately a big enough house where I have my own bathroom here, my own men's room here, and I have two rooms in the back that has been kind of a playroom, and I'm here, and I'm staying as far away from everyone. My wife delivered to me a small refrigerator and a microwave oven. She just got, and she put it outside the door. I brought it in. I set it up. I've got a TV in here. I got another set of recording equipment. I have food in there, but I'm not. I'm like I've got cooties, you know. I'm here. By the way, I immediately went to another walk-in clinic. These urgent cares that are popping up all over the place, and I went in there and I took another rapid test, and it was negative. I didn't tell them anything. You know, they were very careful anyway, and they're both places were very, very careful, and that was negative. So I've got two negatives and a positive, but in good conscience, I can't go on a plane, right? I mean, I feel fine. I don't have any. I have no temperature. I have no symptoms, but I can't in good conscience go in public anywhere. My car's blocked in. My kids have parked behind me in the driveway in case I'm tempted to leave or anything like that. I'm sequestered. And let me remind everyone, Dr. Florence Byam Weinberg is our very special guest. And, you know, here I am going off on all of this, but this is the first time I'm talking about it on air or anywhere.
It's important. It's important. And especially that you're so scrupulous about sequestering yourself. I think I'm full of admiration. And that you have the facility to be able to do that, which so many people don't, especially the poor.
Yeah.
And that's why the Hispanics and the black people are getting coronavirus at a greater rate than whites, because we have bigger houses, let's face it.
Yeah.
More facilities.
Oh, you're right on. And, you know, and shame on me if I give it to anyone else. I don't believe I have it. I have to believe it's a false positive, but I can't take that chance and give it to some. I have an 83-year-old uncle who has a 90-year-old girlfriend in adult care. It's assisted living, and it's a lovely facility, and I usually see them 3 days a week, but I'm 6 feet away and behind a fence with masks on. Everybody has masks, but I wouldn't dare go see them. She's not feeling well as we speak, and it's a lot of responsibility, and we have to, you know, we have to take it upon ourselves, regardless of what kind of example is being set at the top. Very dangerous. And again, I'm trying not to be overly political or whatever, but very shameful in a way that coronavirus has been handled. There are those who believe that 100,000 people would still be alive if the top political brass in the country would have insist on wearing masks and everything else. And we didn't do anything like that. And I'll tell you what, it's an amazing poor example that's being set. And, you know, I'm trying to set the example here in front of my four children, that, and my wife, the same thing, that this is a serious thing, and we can't, it's not about us, it's about other people and giving it to other people. But your thought on the whole handling of coronavirus in this country?
Well, yeah, it's been miserable, the handling of coronavirus in this country. But even where it's been handled correctly, as in Europe, it's coming back because people have relaxed and gotten together, and the virus is just still sitting there waiting to pounce when people do that. I don't think anything is going to solve our problem until we get a vaccine against it.
You know, there is a million or more than a million cases worldwide on coronavirus, and over 200, maybe we're up to 220 as we speak now, 220,000 deaths here. Oh, no, I take that back. There's over a million deaths worldwide, and we have more than 20% of the deaths. And, you know, we certainly don't have 20% of the population, right? I mean, we don't have anything like that. It's 7.5 billion people in the world. But we obviously are not handling this as well as we should be. And, you know, you have to look at the top and how they have handled it, and having rallies, I don't care, you know, that the campaign is on thing, but with 25,000 people on top of each other without masks, I mean, how could you do that? Do you expect anything to come? Do you think there's going to be any campaigning in Texas, in the state of Texas?
Well, apparently there's some plans. There should be, because Texas is coming mighty close to a tie right now. A lot of people with enthusiasm have come out to vote, and it's going to slow down. I think maybe the other side is going to start coming out in force in Texas. Those who are more conservative and who believe in voting on election day and not sooner, they're probably holding back until then, and then they'll come out en masse. It may turn around. The tie may disappear. I'm not going to predict it. Let's put it that way. I think it's way too dangerous to try to predict what will happen in Texas. But this is the first time in many years, in many elections, that it's even been close. So that's new.
Yeah, and it's not only new, but it's news that it's that close. It is a remarkable situation going on, and Texas is the Republican California. You know, if you think about it, right? It's supposed to be unthought of on Election Day, and that it shouldn't be a competitive area. Amazing. But Dr. Florence Byam Weinberg is the voice that you're hearing. Frank McKay here with the good doctor. If you think about the early voting, and I don't know what the law is in Texas on early voting, there has it been going on for a long time, Doctor?
Actually, it's been fairly peaceful here. San Antonio seems to be in pretty good shape when it comes to hostilities. We haven't had too many. Actually, we've had a couple of police killings lately. Of people, unarmed people, black people.
Yeah.
And that has been terrible, but it hasn't aroused the people the way it has in the northern Midwest. I don't know what's going on with San Antonians, but people have stayed calm and haven't come out in the streets.
Very good leadership over there.
Thing, because they won't get contaminated with COVID if they stay home. This is what they're doing.
You have very good leadership over there. The mayor nationally is recognized as a very good leader and a very cool-headed, intelligent man. And you got a good one over there. And you're probably going to lose him one day because he's going to move up to higher office.
Bunch of us thank God for him, yes.
Yeah.
And a bunch of us don't. There are those who are against him, of course, because he is a Democrat. So
yeah.
So that riles people.
Well, what I was asking about was the early voting. What kind of early voting situation do you have there in San Antonio? Is it a large?
Same as the rest of Texas. Actually, it's pretty good. It's early voting. It started on the 13th of this month and goes through the end of the month. So there's all that time to get out there and vote. And as far as mail-in voting, all people over 65 automatically, and this has been going for a long time, automatically get mail-in ballots. And so I voted by mail, and I mailed my ballot, and it was reported on the first day that 38,000 mail-in ballots had already come in, and I assume mine did because it was mailed about 3 days before that. And usually mail will get to its destination inside the city within, certainly within 2 days, but very often the very following day. So the mail service here is still very good. And most people take early voting in stride. The one thing, of course, is that there's only one drop-off box in San Antonio. But that is there's no change there. It never has been more than one box. So although this is a very large city now, it's very sprawled out and with a couple of million people in it, in larger, greater San Antonio. So we do need more than one drop-off box, but the people are used to having that kind of hardship to get their ballots in, if they don't want to mail them. And so there's no fuss about it, at least not on the stations that I've been listening to. And generally, things are quiet here in San Antonio. So there you are.
Yeah. Again, Dr. Florence Byham Weinberg is our very special guest once again. If you had to take a guess, that number that you gave, did you say 34,000? Ballots already in? Was it 34? That doesn't sound like an awful lot. And for the...
It's a lot.
Yeah, for the state of Texas.
Yes, well, there were a lot of people requested mail-in ballots who were not over 65, quite clearly, because of the COVID virus. And they were sent out without any question. So the workers in the election process are paying no attention to what's being said at the top, but going about their business quietly and efficiently. And so people did receive their ballots that they requested, and they turned them in, mailed them. And so 38,000 came in on that very first day.
Yeah.
Or had already come in, I should say. Were there to be reported on the very first day of early mailing here.
So, I mean, the mail-in ballot voting and the early voting, I wonder, I know it's semantics, but is it considered the same thing there? It's both considered the same thing.
Well, no, I take it back. I was thinking mail-in ballots and the ballots that the elderly turn in, because there are slightly different terms for those. But no, early voting is quite independent of mail-in ballots. It's not all by mail. And people did. There were record lines. In fact, MSNBC and CNN had pictures of San Antonio and people standing in lines that were wrapping around several blocks because so many people came out on the first day and the second day as well. So enthusiasm is high.
Yeah.
And, of course, the split in the community is also very strong. It's the same split as everywhere else. But people are not getting their guns out and confronting each other over it.
Well, let's hope that stays. Let's hope that stays the same situation. You say that only half kidding because, you just never know what could happen in a year like this with tempers being what they are. I'm trying to figure out if there are statistics on out of those 34,000 Are they? Do they favor one party over the other?
The speculation was that the Democrats were in the majority. Yes.
Yeah, I would have to. Yeah.
That's only speculation because I think they're not allowed to count them until on election day itself.
See, that's interesting.
I'm not quite sure how they figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting time that we're dealing with. And, you know, I would think that early voting would favor the Democrats because the president, of course, who's a Republican, is questioning the integrity of the early voting and was trying to discourage that as much as possible. And I would think that, you know, that followers of his that are listening to him may be, you know, heeding his word and not trusting the mail. So I imagine that the early mail-in voting would favor Democrats almost everywhere except extraordinarily red states such as like Wyoming or something along those lines. But there's all types of... you would think so, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, it would make sense. But even so, when they announced that they thought it was largely Democrats, or a majority of Democrats, I should say, it puzzled me because they're not supposed to open those ballots and figure out, I mean, and know that they're mostly Democratic ballots. So I don't know. but it stands to reason that it would be. So you're right there.
Now, I may have missed this in our conversation, but did you already send in your ballot? You did on the first day, right?
Yes. I probably mailed it on the 11th this month.
And you get a confirmation that they have it?
No, that you don't.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, I guess that would be a lot of work and a lot of money to confirm something like that.
Right.
You know, we just had a rally here, a pro-Trump rally. They called it something else, but it was really a pro-Trump rally. And something like 9,000 cars I should specify where here is Eastern Long Island, and they drove 9,000 cars drove out on Sunday to Montauk Point and turned around, and it was a show, big show. I didn't see it, but from what everyone says, you know, there's talk that there were 30,000 people involved in this drive. And, you know, some people, you know, ask the question, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon, and yes, it shows enthusiasm for the president's support, but this is a state, you know, New York, where clearly the president's not going to win, but that this was a nuisance to anybody who's expecting to have no traffic on one day of the week, and that would be the Sunday. And for this to go on, and that the a lot of the drivers, and I'm trying to be as fair as I can here, but a lot of the drivers by other non-participating drivers were thought to be forceful and bullying, and I'm not sure, you know, like if you're not if you're anywhere on the fence, whether you are going to think that is going to get your vote somehow. And you know, that's, I guess, what that's designed to do is to bolster support and everything else. If those people are already there, again, I guess it can go either way, but enthusiasm out there, you know, the enthusiasm all seems to be based around Trump. And on both sides. In other words, it's anti-Trump. There's a tremendous amount of influence and enthusiasm, and pro-Trump. So you see these signs, but for the most part, the enthusiastic Biden voter is basically, you know, keeping quiet, and they're, you know, many of them are afraid to put and correct me if I'm wrong, but afraid to put a sign on their car. Maybe they'd get their car keyed, or they'd get a smash window, or they'd get, you know, they're nervous about things like that, but that they're going to show up. And they're gonna show their enthusiasms with their feet, and by going to the polls and sending in their early votes and by the mail and everything else. But again, would you agree that the loudest, squeakiest wheel are the Trump voters on one way? Yeah,
no doubt about that. Well, I just put out my Biden-Harris lawn sign.
Ah, there you go.
It came in the mail finally, and so it's out there. And so far, it's still out there, but it might get torn up and destroyed. But I noticed that none of the other Biden-Harris signs or the Trump signs, either one, have been molested in the neighborhood. So I don't expect any violence on that score from my people here. But 4 years ago, I had my Democratic sign torn up and my Hillary sign torn up and destroyed.
Wow, so that's terrible.
Running high, even higher back then.
You know, I heard a horrible story, and you know I don't know what's true and what's not true, but I assume this was well reported. It was a couple of good outlets that good quality outlets that reported this, but that there were Trump signs that were put in illegally placed spots. You know, in other words, there wasn't allowed to be a sign there. And when the workers, the government workers, went to remove, they were going to remove anything, not only Trump, but Biden or anything that was there. When they went to remove the signs, they were cut up by razor blades that were attached to the sign. Did you hear this story?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just terrible. And they cut up their hands terribly on the razor blades when they were removing them. And I think one of the workers said he's a lifelong Republican. He just had to do it. It was against the law, and no matter whose sign it was, he had to remove it. And he's got something like 14 stitches or something like that on his hands because the Trump person. Again, it's a small sample size. I'm not trying to paint them with the same brush, everyone with the same brush. But, I mean, that is a horrible – hopefully things like that aren't happening.
Yes, that reminds me of putting razors in apples for children on Halloween.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Equally bad.
Yeah, I mean razors should be used for one thing, and that's cutting responsibly hair and shaving and things like that, and people that use them as weapons, shame on them. Dr. Florence Byam Weinberg once again is our very special guest, and we got a couple moments left with the doc. If you would, what do you expect from the election? And when I say that, I don't mean give us a prediction on who's going to win, who's going to lose, but what do you expect? Are you expecting it to be volatile if? If either side wins or loses, do you expect there's some people expecting that maybe the president doesn't leave if he loses. I mean, do you expect something like that to happen?
I go with the pundits who have said if it's very if it's very lopsided and one side wins heavily, unequivocally, with many electoral votes over the other one, then I don't think there's going to be any major problem. I think probably Trump is going to complain and say that there was fraud and so on, but I don't think he's going to try to stay. If it is obvious that he lost, if it's close, then it's anybody's guess what's going to happen.
Yet, you know, there are even one of your senators, not Ted Cruz, but your other senator, Cornyn. He's having words with the president, right? He's had different, you know, difficult words with the president over the years, and so has Ben Sasse from Nebraska. By the way, so has Marco Rubio. So has Ted Cruz. I mean, you know, don't forget, you know, he called them lying Ted during the debates. You know, of course, Susan Collins and, you know, is it Murawski out of Alaska, Senator from Alaska, has had major problems. And Mitt Romney, of course, terrible problems. But there's a, you know, right there, I just named more than 10% of his own party's senators. And I think that's one of the reasons why if anything was to go bad, and again, it's you know, the one thing I don't think we want is a close Biden victory. You know, you'd want you'd want a blowout from Biden, because if it's anything like 2000, where George W. Bush was elected, and some could argue that election, you know, was decided by his own brother in Florida, and it was certainly the worst case scenario. And 2004 was decided by the state of Ohio, and it looked like John Kerry was going to be the president. And, you know, of course, it was a very close election. If it's anything like that, I think the fallback position is the fact that these senators that are opposed to the president, that these Republican senators would step up and say, Mr. President, just like Barry Goldwater had said to Richard Nixon after Watergate, Mr. President, it's time to go. And I think the more fighting he does with Ben Sasse and you're one of your senators there, I think is ensuring that the Republican senators are going to have something to say. Your thoughts on all of that?
Yes, I think you're right there. And I hope that's true, because none of them have shown very much courage up to now, except for Mitt Romney. But others have gone right along like sheep. And that certainly includes Cornyn and Ted Cruz. So in the final analysis, whether they would pluck up courage and do that, I hope they would. But it's not guaranteed, that's for sure.
Yeah. Romney, I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Romney. I was never, you know, a huge fan of Romney, but I, you know, I didn't support him in 2012. You know, I could say that, you know, just for reasons of full disclosure, but I've developed a tremendous amount of respect for him and his integrity. You know, he's really stepped up.
Yes, I've written him a couple of letters asking him to vote no on the present Supreme Court justice thing when it comes to the vote. So far, he hasn't said anything, but I'm hoping that he heeded my letters, which I think were quite eloquent.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he gets thousands of quite eloquent letters during this period. So I doubt if he even has seen what I wrote.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Well, listen, I've got to thank you, and I know a lot going on in 2020. And to spend a little more time here talking about maybe the biggest thing that's happening in 2020 is a changing election one way or the other. You know, again, 15 days away, and we are, you know, about 2 weeks out. And the next time we talk, we're going to be about a week out from a president being reelected or unelected. And it is a very tense time in this country.
The nation hangs in the balance. It really does. And
yeah.
So I ask everybody listening to go vote if you haven't done it already.
Yeah. And I think most of the people that are listening to your shows each and every week are probably in agreement with you. You've been very open and generous with your opinion, and not preachy by any means, but you've been very very certain about where you are, and I don't think you've minced words. And at the same time, I think you've been very fair with your analysis of everything that's going on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, listen, stay safe, and I'll try to do the same. And I hope for a new result when the actual real test comes in, or whatever you want to call it, the real test. But in the meanwhile, I'll be sequestering myself and not going near anyone at all where I could do any kind of harm. But Dr. Florence Byham Weinberg, thank you very, very much once again for being here.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Frank. As I always say, I enjoy these sessions very much.
And
I hope others enjoy them too.
And I know they do. And to everyone out there listening, please vote. Just get out and vote. And, we're not saying vote for who. Just get out and vote your conscience. And,
yes.
And you could, I think you could you get an idea where Dr. Weinberg is coming from. And if you're listening every week, you'll clearly know what's where she feels. She hasn't minced any words. She is with Joe Biden 100% and not in favor of what President Trump has done. And if the decision for the new presidency is going to depend on how coronavirus has been handled, I can't imagine that he's going to be successful in his reelection bid. It's very difficult to make a case that it's been handled well. And this is coming from someone who currently has tested positive from it. And I'll take full responsibility for what I'm doing. In spite of what we've seen as an example, I am going to stay away from everyone as I would anyway, but especially now, and sequestering myself and quarantining myself. So everyone out there, please stay safe, and we'll let you know real soon when the documentary is ready on Dr. Florence Byham Weinberg. We'll see you all next time on Breaking Down.